The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Munchkin Minute, your bi-weekly look into some tabletop gaming news and more. I'm your host, Dan, Board Game Man, and this is your news for October 7th, 2022. So Z-Man is releasing Challengers. This should be out next month and be about $40. This is a pretty easy to play deck building style tournament kind of game. On the surface, it looks like a kind of a cheesy war variant, but the more I looked into it, it's much, much more than that. And it's still an easy game to play. And don't get me wrong, there is kind of this element of war to it, but it does have a good amount of depth. So during the game, you're going to be playing head-to-head tournament style with one other player, and other players are also going to pair up. So certainly makes for better games and with more players. And of course, an even number of players is going to be a little bit better, but there are rules for ways to play with odd counts too, or even a solo player. Gives you like a robot player to play against. So you're going to have a certain amount of decks to use in the game, and the game comes with six, and you're going to use five of these kind of themed decks, and then you're going to shuffle them kind of together. So each person is going to have their own standard deck in which you're going to be kind of your starter kind of crappy deck. And each game you're going to play, you're going to add cards or delete cards from your deck after each game. And, you know, just kind of to fine tune your deck and get it better after each game that you do play. So now how games play is you shuffle up your deck and you're going to play kind of capture your flag, kind of war back and forth style. So you'll flip over a card and it's going to have a number, and then you'll capture the flag with the highest number. Then your opponent is going to flip over a card trying to beat that number. If they do not beat that number, they're going to flip over another card and add that total to their number. Now, once they do beat the total, then going to kind of splay or collapse the splayed cards into a pile together, and the last card drawn will become the top card, and then that's going to be their number, and then they will have the flag. Then it's back to you starting from scratch. So then you're going to flip over a card trying to beat that. So where the gaminess comes in is, other cards outside your starters are going to have powers and other values on it. So a card might be +1 when defending, but it might just have a normal number when attacking, and things like that. So you're going to play one until one person's deck runs out, and then you move on to between games phase. So then the person whose deck runs out first loses. So once you get to the between games phase, you're going to add cards and trash cards that you don't really want in your deck, but you can't trash too much cards because you're going to need cards to win and not run out of your deck. So it's kind of a push and pull trying to see what the ideal kind of deck construction is so that it doesn't cause you to use too many cards, but you still want those good, cards in there. So you're going to play a certain amount of matches, winning trophies and fans during these games, and then you will get to the finals and see who wins. It's a really, really pretty cool concept the more I was looking into it. And like I said, I haven't played it, but it seems like a lighter weight game to get into, but a really cool strategy game for sure. Next up, just announced recently, Renegade Game Studios is expanding their licensing and partnership with Hasbro Gaming. So this is going to be with Hasbro Gaming Classics. Now, they're going to be making games for different lines from Hasbro: Axis and Allies, Robo Rally, Diplomacy, Squad Leader. And some of those are just going to be re-releasing the older ones, and then others are going to be re-releasing updated versions. They put out kind of a Q&A there. Nobody else is going to be making games for this brand from what they said. But then they said they're going to be releasing new versions and reprinting the old ones. And one of the cool things that they did say is they're not going to be taking over the Risk brand, but they did say that they will be making versions of Risk set in the world of Power Rangers, Transformers, and G.I. Joe. Now, as Risk kind of become a little bit of kind of old hat in the way it plays, still kind of a very cool classic game, but they did put out Risk Legacy. So I don't know if maybe we'll see Risk Transformers Legacy or Power Rangers Legacy. Something cool like that would be awesome. And also, again, as the years have gone by and we've kind of learned a lot more about game design and what works and what doesn't work, you know, maybe they'll be updating kind of the, you know, kind of the versions or kind of the gameplay to make it a little bit more kind of user friendly and a little bit more fun and gaminess with Risk. But very cool that they're going to be taking over those licenses as well. Steve Jackson is bringing out a couple of holiday releases. They've got the 12 Dice of Christmas and Bad Christmas. 12 Dice of Christmas is going to be $15. Bad Christmas, $10. Both smaller games and very much stocking stuffer games. Now, there's not a whole lot of information on these two. The 12 Dice of Christmas has a 12 Christmassy dice made for one fast, fun game, and you're picking dice to get the right numbers to buy presents you need for Christmas and to keep your friends from getting what they want. And Bad Christmas is kind of a card game about collecting gifts for Christmas, that you have a Christmas list and you're collecting those gifts, but also making your friends miss their list by giving them bad cards that they don't need. So again, pretty cool little stocking stuffer games. Steve Jackson always puts out some really cool little stocking stuffers around the holiday time. Now, sticking with the smallish stocking stuffer type card games, Pegasus Spiel will release Monster Inn, that's I-N-N, like kind of going to an inn. That'll be out later this year, and also a good size stocking stuffer. It'll be about $19. This is a lighter auction kind of card game. Your dungeon master is going to a quote-unquote inn, and you're trying to get monsters into your dungeon. Now, during the game, you're going to be a certain amount of cards that will be available each round that you and the other players will go around the table bidding for your pick of these. So if you back out, you're going to get the bids from the other players, but you're also going to get the worst card, so you get to put it into your dungeon, which will be like a little tableau in front of you. Now, as you get monster and humanoids, you're going to end up with two rows of cards. You're going to be monsters on top and humanoids on the bottom, and once the game ends, you're going to compare the numbers of each that are be on top and the bottom, and if the monster is higher than the humanoid will go away, and all the monsters will score if they don't have anybody around there. And then you're going to see how many points you got, so, and see who wins. So nice and easy little game. An interesting bit of news from GameFound. Now, I didn't know if I wanted to cover this, but it's about a GameFound project. And since I cover crowdfunding each show, thought I'd bring it up because it's been kind of a hot button topic in gaming, in the last couple of weeks for one reason or another. So now last week, Borecubator canceled the project Kingdom Come Deliverance, the board game. Now, this normally wouldn't be any big deal about cancellation, but they did so after meeting their goal by more than 300%. In an update, they released a statement saying, quote unquote, "There's more than just one reason that led to the cancellation of this campaign. First and foremost, we need to acknowledge that even though funding goal has been met, it does not meet the realistic costs of the project. Bluntly speaking, we did not have confidence in showcase the real goal of 1.5 million euros, which would be about 10,000 backers in a crowdfunding world where the funded in XY minutes is a regular highlight. In the overall mix of unfortunate events, this leads to not only the cancellation of the project, but also Borecubator as a whole." So what I saw was 2,063 backers pledged about €319,000 of the 100,000 goal. So like I said, a little over three times what they wanted. So the real conversation to have here, and maybe it's more of a lesson for other publishers or prospective crowdfunders, is about having your goals. Here, they put up a goal, and they're not the first ones to do this, but this is just kind of something that happened recently, so I wanted to highlight it. So they put up a goal of 100,000, and they really wanted 1.5 million or more. And that seems for, you know, that seems like a startup company, startup money or a company as well, you know, kind of putting in as for the game itself. So that's extremely high, but I'm guessing they were trying to shoot for the moon in what they could produce as well for the game. So they admittedly were trying to fund quickly and were trying to get to furious backing to get them to 1.5 million, which you see here and there. I mean, it's still not commonplace, but it does happen. And you know, I've had other kind of Kickstarter people that have said nobody knows nothing about nothing, because some days you can see a great campaign only reach about 100,000. And then you see a so-so campaign reaching the millions, which is, you know, just kind of how it happens. So going forward, as many, you know, crowdfunding creators find, there's certainly a game to all of this, so to speak. So set your goal too high and you might not meet it in lightning speed, and you could actually, you know, and you're likely will chase people off because you haven't met that goal. And then if you set it too low, you risk not really getting what you actually need and needing to cancel it. So it's an interesting story. And again, since I cover crowdfunding projects, I wanted to bring this up. So go ahead and give me some thoughts either in the comments or on Major Spoilers on Twitter or on MajorSpoilers.com or on Twitter. And of course, in the Major Spoilers Discord channel. Again, this is just kind of like a cautionary tale to people going out there to really pay attention to what, not necessarily what you're backing, but if you are a creator, what you actually need to fund, because there's all these horror stories of people that kind of went bankrupt because they didn't put their funding level too, you know, high enough to get it. So you're really, you know, there's a lot of people out there that will give you advice or help you out, or a lot of other books and stuff that can see, but this is an interesting one because the problem, I think, you know, editorial wise is that it kind of really makes you, I don't want to say the lack of trust, but you kind of, you know, wonder what you're getting into and really have to look into the different companies and stuff. And it may chase people off from kind of startup companies doing Kickstarters, but, you know, good luck to them if they decide to do it again. And, hopefully people learn something from this type of thing as well. I'm going to head on over to Kickstarter itself now. We'll get into some of the other platforms next episode. First thing I wanted to do. It's something that I talked about actually today on the Major Discord, Major Spoilers Discord, because this is a really cool one that kind of crosses over to kind of the comics fans and maybe even other RPG fans. This is 2070, a graphic novel adventures game, and this is put out by Van Riders Game. Now, this is for 1 to 4 players, plays about 30 minutes, and this is, has that great graphic novel adventures type place. This is more of an RPG feel where everybody's got their own book and you're going to be playing cooperatively to play through the adventure. Now, all of the graphic novel adventures, I've played a lot of them. I own most of the first and some of the second season that they did. There's all sorts of different graphic novels adventures that you have. There's a lot of them are solo where it's kind of, you can do kind of a Sherlock Holmes type adventure, or there's RPGs. There's one Loop Guru, which is in the first season where it's an RPG and kind of a werewolf type setting. There's also other settings where in that one, it's a straight RPG. You're kind of leveling up, getting things, you're having fights. There's others where there's one set in Old West where you're making an Old West town and you're kind of filling in this map where you can kind of print a map from their sites or you use the book itself. You're kind of making your own town depending on how much money you raise. All these are great. There's also the multiplayer ones that they have. And they've even got a couple of those in this campaign that you can get onto. The Crusoe Crew, and also Sherlock Holmes, Baker Street Irregulars, where everybody's got their own book. And depending on what page you're on, whether your abilities, whether you have superpowers or just kind of your the way that the book folds out for you, you may see things on that page that other people do not. So that's what's really cool about these multiplayer graphic novel adventure games. This is a really cool one. It's $35 to get in on 2070, and you can get $60 to get one of the other ones, or $75 to get the whole cooperative collection, which does have 2070, the Baker Street Irregulars, and the Crusoe Crew. So very, very cool there. This has got about a week to go. It's almost completely funded, but I think this was a shorter campaign as it is, but I expect this one to get funded. And Van Ryder Games, again, they put out a lot of great games as well. You could probably go to their site for some of the older ones that I did kind of mention and see some of the ones I didn't mention. There's a pirate theme ones. And again, there's for all different ages. I'll go over this next one pretty quick. This one I backed, Terraforming Mars, the dice game. It's only got a couple of games to go as of this release, so you may need to get there quickly. It is well funded. This is, of course, by Stronghold Games. You can get in on it by $35. I'm not going to go into this too much because if you know Terraforming Mars, and you know Terraforming Mars, the card game, which is Ares Expedition, you know what to expect from the dice game. But there's a lot of really good stuff in here for $35 to get in on it, and it looks great. I don't think I mentioned this. I apologize if I mentioned this one last episode, but definitely check this one out, Terraforming Mars, the dice game. Next up, Draft and Write Records. This is a cool draft and write or roll and write kind of type game for 1 to 6 players, and you're drafting and you're kind of making your own band. So you're doing Draft and Write Records. You're kind of doing kind of almost Seven Wonders style with cards and drafting different things, and you're getting end game cards. You're putting your band together, and each member that you do draft will have its own abilities and other ways of kind of, we'll just say scoring or kind of playing off of each other. So you're really trying to maximize the chemistry between the band members. This one looks great. It's about $27 US, which is a great value there. There's also an all access pass, which has a lot of extras. And that's about $73 US if you want to get on that. About a week and a half to go. And this one is funded as well. This one is made, of course, by, I wanted to mention this too, because Connor Magoey has some great games that they've put out, that he's put out. Block and Key is great. City Builder is an amazing game. So just a lot of cool games that they've put out. So this is a solid designer that I like as well. Next one, Frozen Frontier. This is a deep Euro-style sci-fi strategy game for, they say, for quote-unquote experienced players, which means that it's kind of a heavier heavier weight kind of Euro in which you're kind of playing where it's kind of a semi-co-op where you're kind of, you know, you've got a post-apocalyptic kind of frozen world and you're trying to kind of build up the different places of the world, the different cities in this post-apocalyptic empire. And it does have a really cool kind of strategy gameplay. It does have good player, and they say it's positive player interactions, really cool semi-closed economic model, which I really like a bit. And then, you know, even though it is kind of a competitive game, it does have positive player interactions, not just beating on each other throughout the whole game. This one is about $85 to get in a base game or a deluxe edition for $125. About 2.5 weeks to go. So check that one out. See, check the decent amount of information and a good video there as well. Next up, Fate Forged Chronicles of Khan. This is a mythical co-op action-adventure campaign full of surprising twists, a sprawling story, intense fights, and sessions of under 60 minutes. This doesn't have a lot to go. It may even be expired by the time this gets published, but I did want to kind of mention this, and a lot of times, again, you can get in on after it, but this screams, Dan, you know, if you know what I mean by that, a lot of these really cool new narrative kind of RPG games where there's plenty of cards, plenty of dice, and you're kind of playing through these really cool adventures with the cards and kind of having these tiles where you're kind of, you know, expanding the whole story as you go. Looks very, very cool and has that deep story to play. You get in on this one for about $100, a little less than $100 US, and $127 for an Emperor's Pledge, which has a whole lot more to it. So that's Fate Forge Chronicles of Khan. This is a nice little smaller one. This is Dark Tomb. This the creator is called Kaz. This is a pretty cool little kind of dungeon crawl game in a little bit of a tin. I like these little kind of portable, quick playing dungeon crawl games. It's got 2 weeks to go. It is funded and it is not very expensive. You can get in on it for $20, or you can get two of them for $38 or three of them for $54. So if you want to get a group pledge, it's pretty cool too. So basically it has these tiles where you're kind of setting up the dungeon. You've got a character that you're playing and then you're getting items and fighting different things. But again, just a small little tin package, and it comes with a die, some cubes. It looks really cool for a really small package. So I wanted to include that, kind of like, you know, I like to say I like the little pledges that, you know, or little campaigns that could. So this is a really cool little campaign with about 2 weeks to go. And finally, this one's a little bit bigger of a game, kind of an economic game, but it does have a really cool theme. This is called Age of Comics, The Golden Years. This is a worker placement board game, which you play the role of fictional comic book publishers during the golden age of comics. About a week and a half to go. It is well funded. This is by Lyrius Games, and you can get in on this one for about $45 US. And of course, a collector's edition or the deluxe edition there, if you will, for $64. A really cool economic game in which you're trying to figure out what type of comics you're publishing and how big you're publishing, how you're going to kind of make the publishing, where you're kind of putting it out, where you're probably putting your sales out. And depending on how kind of chits come out, you might get better sales. Really cool. But again, has kind of more of that economic feel game with a really cool theme to it. It does have a solo mode by Nestor Mangione, who did Darwin's Journey, Newton, and Autobahn's solo versions. So definitely check that one out. Again, it is well funded and has about a week and a half to go. So all of these look really, really cool. So thanks for joining me today. If you see any news you think I'd like to feature, shoot me a message at GeekJockDan on Twitter. Also, please check out MajorSpoilers.com for more content by Steven and the rest of the Major Spoilers crew. And check out the Geek All-Stars podcast. That's my podcast where we talk about just about a little bit of everything. As always, I'm Dan, the Board Game Man, and I'll see everyone in 2 weeks for another Munchkin Minute.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.